One thing you guys missed this morning was actually really cute when the little girl was walking up the front here. She was just sort of, you know, walking up and down and just having a bit of look at it all, and then she just walked over here and she saw the open crunchy jar. She looked at it, and I think she was just trying to work out, am I allowed to take one? She didn't, but maybe she could have, eh? Probably wouldn't have hurt. It's great to be here. Great to see you all this morning. How's everyone doing all right? Yeah. Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, thank you for the introduction, Grant. Yeah, and it's also nice to see Mum and Dad over there. Really cool to see Mum and Dad, which is really awesome. And Grant is right. I really feel that there's a message for someone or a few people here this morning. And this morning probably is actually a heart message. So a wee while ago, I was listening. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get songs that just catch your heart. And it was probably about 2 years ago. I was listening to a song that really caught my heart. And it's one of those songs that when a song catches your heart, you stick it on your Spotify playlist, and you just play it over and over. And there's something about certain songs and certain seasons that just minister right into the very depths of your heart. And have you guys heard that song, Gyra? So that song, Gyra, I heard that a couple of years ago, and for me, it's one of those songs that God really has done something in my heart with, and he wanted to lay something down in my heart afresh, and I reckon this morning that there's something that God wants to do afresh in some of your lives, and I would humbly say that God wants to do something in your lives this morning, and it's all about the love of God. So over the years, as Grant was saying, we've been around a wee while and probably preached a few times over the years. I probably feel a wee bit rusty doing this. Normally, I'm in Sunday school with the kids. So Jackie runs a Sunday school. Arno's been helping out there, which has been fantastic. So if you haven't, maybe some of you don't actually know me that well, which is totally fine. That's all right. So normally, we're out in the kids' church, and it is actually a real privilege to minister to your kids. There's some pretty amazing young little people there, and they really are our future. And it is a real privilege actually to be out there and sort of get to know them. And it's actually really special. Like the other Sunday, I was standing talking to Wes and little Joel and Zukan came over and gave me high fives. I mean, it was a real special thing for me actually. It's actually really cool. But anyway, so that song, Gyra, I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to minister something, or he's ministering something to me, even as I'm standing here, I think. Hope I can get through this. But he really wants to minister something about how we receive and how we perceive the love of God in our lives. And man, at the end of the day, well, that's probably the foundation of everything that we're doing here. If you go to church your whole life, we do this week after week, month after month, and you never know God's love or feel God's love, we've really missed today. We've really missed it. So I want to read you just this. It's the first chorus, the words of this. It says, to see if you can see if these words, because I could just read this verse, and if you got that, that's all you need to get from today. It's really, I just want to expand a little bit on it. But the words of the first chorus go like this. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. So that's a pretty powerful way. You know, and obviously when the guy sings it, it just takes it to another whole level. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. I can sing a wee bit, not really that well, but anyway. But it's kind of saying that I'm probably a fresh chasing in my life again to really know that love of God in my life. So it's not just something that I'm, I don't know, in the past, you know, I've probably put some words together that maybe maybe they sounded nice, but this is really a journey that I'm on right now, and it's probably a journey that you all are on, hopefully. And I'd love it. I guess today what I'm wanting to do is to invite you all to maybe come on that journey yourself with me. And as a group, maybe we can all just push a bit further into the love of God for our lives and what that might mean for us. Is anyone up for that? Oh, good. I've got the right people this morning then. So that song, Gyra, it's talking about God's love for all of us, for us as a group and also for us individually. If we could get the words of that first chorus into our lives, I'll never be more loved than I am right now, man, it really would change your whole life. Man, I've got 48 minutes. surprised. This little clock up here tells me how much time I've got. I thought I'd better look at it. And as soon as we talk about the love of God, and I don't really want to focus on this too much today, but some of us, sometimes we have probably would have a problem with hearing about the love of God, because some of us, during our life and the journey we've been on, we've experienced things that people have done in the name of love, but they haven't really been love to us. So sometimes love means so many different things to so many different people. And I hope today that through some of the things that we share, and you hopefully receive that, if you have maybe received love that wasn't really, you know, a really godly love into your life, and someone thought they were doing, or someone was doing stuff to you that was really probably, you know, abusive or really wasn't the heart of God for you, I hope today can help separate that stuff that was maybe done in the name of love, and out of, so God's love can kind of separate from that stuff, so you can receive God's love afresh. Does that make sense? Because love is a word that means so many different things to so many different people. And you know, just you know, when I go to work every day, I try to remember to say as I leave the house, "Hey, love you guys." It just sort of rolls off your tongue, and you know, I do. But you just, you know, just sometimes the word love just rolls off our tongue. And you know, maybe if Jackie's cooking pizza, the kids go, "Yeah, I love pizza." And maybe a couple of weeks back when there was that really big Powerball thing on Lotto, some of you probably think, "Man, I'd love to win Lotto. 32 million. Someone in Christchurch won it. Amazing." And then maybe last night you're going, "Oh, I'd love it if the All Blacks won." So we've got this word in our English language that kind of lumps all of these things together. But it's so much broader than, it can mean so much more than just that really casual, "Man, I'd love it if we had pizza tonight" sort of thing. Does that make sense as well? So in the Greek language, and there's a book if you really wanted to study this a bit deeper, you can read a book called The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. Which I've read a wee bit of, I haven't read the whole thing, but it's actually a pretty cool book. But he basically, so the word love can be broken down into so many different types of love. So, the four loves, there's basically four words. Now, if I understand correctly, there's four words that the Bible translates, or that we read in our Bible, as love. And the words are, in the Greek, the first one is storge, and I'm not going to say these right, I think it's storge or something like that. And that's basically love amongst family. So, you know, how a parent loves a child. So hopefully you love your children more than you love pizza. Another one is philia.
What sort of pizza?
Well, I tell you, the pizza that we love in our house that Jackie cooks is it's sliced potato, bacon and cheese, and then fried onion as well. Oh man, it's so good. It sounds really interesting, but I tell you what, you taste it, it's really amazing. The second word for love that's in Greek that the Bible translates, our translators put as the word love, is philia, which is love between friends. So you know how you can have a really good friend and you really enjoy friendship with someone, and that's a form of love. And you know, you've probably got shared values, experience, interests, people that you like hanging out with. The third one, we probably don't talk about it much in church, is the word eros, which is like that experience when you're in love with someone. And that's the type of love that God designed between a man and a woman. And it's got a sexual connotation, obviously. And the word eros, you know, this, I think it's the root word for erotic. And, you know, we won't go any further with that this morning, so you can all relax, it's all right. But the love that we want to really focus on this morning, the fourth word is agape. And probably, look, some of you have been around as long or longer than me as well, and you've probably heard preaching about this before. But agape is the love that exists regardless of circumstances, and it's the type of love that God has towards us. And it's a love that's selfless. It's a love that's not based on how we are, it's based on how He is, which is actually pretty cool. So our Heavenly Father loves us with agape love, and He loves us unconditionally. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that incredible? And I want to break that down a bit this morning. So hopefully, at the end of the day, you've understood a bit more about the unconditional love of God for you, and you might be able to receive His love even deeper. So when the Bible talks about God's love for us, it's a different love that we're going to encounter from anywhere else in the world. From our family, from our friends, from anything else, God's love is so different. And there's some verses, I just want to just quickly run through some verses just to lay a wee bit of a biblical foundation for some of this. And I'm not sure if you want to follow, you can, but we'll go through these relatively quickly. But some of these verses help us get an understanding for the love that God has for us. Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrated his own love for us. Actually, I'm going to turn there as well. Does anyone have one of these ones anymore? Paper one? Well, actually, I really like my paper Bible. It looks really holy and used. It's just really poor quality. I have used it a bit, but I'm really disappointed with how the covers lasted. But I don't want to get rid of it because it's got some nice little bits in here that I quite like. Does anyone relate to that? You've got your own special little Bible. Yep, not the same as an iPad, eh? I tell you what, one thing that they're definitely not, the writing's changed, it's really hard to read now. I don't know how they did that. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, he died for us. Before we loved him, he died for us. So we didn't actually have to earn his love. We weren't in a place to be able to earn it before he gave it to us. 1 John 3:1, turn right if you're in the Bible, if you're in a paper Bible. Take me a minute to find that. 1 John 3:1, behold how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. He lavished something on us that defines who we are. Actually, can I turn that light on? Is that something I could do? How do you do that? Do I just touch it or? Oh, look at that. There's a little switch. Amazing. Modern technology. So he has lavished love on us that it literally defines who we are, that we might become children of God. 1 John 3:16, just a wee bit further down. It is actually really hard to read this. I might have to do something about that. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers as well. This is how we know what love is. We see what Jesus did for us, and we know that that's what love is. And then 1 John 4 verse 8 and 1 John 4 verse 16 both say the same thing. They say that God is love. So God doesn't love us just because we were worthy of his love. He loves us because he is love. Love is not an emotion that God sometimes has. It's something that he actually is. That is such an incredible verse, that God is love. And it's not like saying that he sometimes has to work up towards us. It's saying that he can't help but do because it's what he is. Like, you can't sort of remove love from God. If you were to somehow be able to remove love from God, he wouldn't be God anymore, because God is actually love. And that's pretty incredible. So his love for us is not just circumstantial. He doesn't look at us and think, well, yep, you've been doing really well at the moment, so I'm going to really pour my love on you. His love is something that he pours out, he lavishes on us, calls us the children of God, even if we're not doing particularly well. Isn't that incredible? It's not because we've earned it. He loves us because he is love, and that's enabled him to call us his children, which is pretty incredible. And I love what Graham Cook says. He says that God loves you because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you. And then he keeps on going on in certain versions. But do you get that? He loves you because he loves you. God, he loves you because he loves you. Man, isn't that incredible? I'll never be more loved than I am right now. He loves me because he loves me. Man, I reckon that's pretty incredible, eh? So it's not just an attribute that he has. God is not loving. We can be loving towards our kids. We can be loving towards people we know. So we can have the attribute of love. But God is just not loving. He is love. Man, can you see the difference in that? As humans, we can be loving, and we can be incredibly loving. Man, God is at another whole level of that. He is not just loving. He is love. And we can receive that, which is incredible. Just that line in that song, I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Man, isn't that incredible? So you can't do anything more right now to earn more of God's love. Even if you decided, man, I'm going to really go after this. I am going to really earn God's love today. You can't earn any more of God's love than what he extends towards you right now. Because we can't earn it. We didn't do something to earn that love so we could receive it. He just literally lavishes it upon us. And if we can't, man, get this, if we can't earn it, we also can't unearn it. Oh, man, doesn't that change something? Because sometimes we day, have you ever had a day when you thought, man, I think I blew that. I think I might have just, you know, caused God to move his gaze a wee bit from me. If we can't earn it, we can't unearn it. Man, that does something right on the inside of us, eh? But it kind of, that messes with our earthly thinking. Because we live in a world where basically, to get B, you have to push button A. If I do this, I will get that. And that's the way we're brought, you know, if I go to work, I'm going to earn some money. If I give someone that, they'll give me this. Our whole world is kind of set up on if this happens over here, then that will happen. God short-circuited that. I just pour out love upon you because that's who I am. That's his nature. So God's love toward you is dependent on his nature, not yours. And his nature is immovable. We kind of move around a bit. You know, we have good days, we have bad days. God doesn't have good or bad days. That means he doesn't want to pour his love out upon us anymore. His nature is unchanging, so he is love all of the time. And I just hope these words just wash over you and just start to, if you need to, change the way you think about how God thinks about you. It's not based upon how you're doing. It's based upon his nature that we receive his love. And man, that's freeing. I find that really, really freeing. Because we've got a tendency to disqualify ourselves from God's love when we're blowing it. So have you ever had some of these things happen? Have you ever let yourself down by the way you acted in a situation? Yeah, we all have. I've got some regrets in life. Not many, but I've got some specific things that I regret. If I look back, I wish I could undo them, but I can't. I feel as though I've let myself down in certain situations. And if you ever really messed something up big time and you look back and go, man, I just totally blew that. Have you ever failed when you were trying to do something really good? When you had a really good purpose in mind and you failed? It didn't work out like you wanted it to, and it actually maybe really turned out bad. Have you ever hurt someone deliberately and then felt really guilty about it? I have. Have you ever lied to someone right to their face that really cared for you? And you really, for whatever reason, you're just in a place that you really just wanted to hurt them. And that's human nature. That's the way we are. You know, surely that nature is being redeemed, but there's times when we've all let ourselves down. And what about, you know, sometimes maybe you've gone back to a habit or an addiction or something that's been destructive in your life. And you know you've let yourself down by doing that. And what about if you've just straight out disobeyed God? God says, I want you to do this. And you're just going, no, not doing it. Not doing it. So chances are, if you've had any of those circumstances, and as I'm saying that, probably there might be a little wee, you know, that little wee video reel is playing in your head. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah. That was not so good. I've got a little video reel that I could play in my mind. I'm not playing it right now. But it can make you feel really guilty and really condemned. And sometimes I think what it also does is when we're in that situation, we can actually feel our value. When we consider those things, those situations, our value that we place upon ourselves can actually kind of like start decreasing, and we start devaluing ourselves because of the way we've acted in a certain circumstance. And maybe you've like started to disqualify yourself from knowing God's love or thinking, man, God can't love me anymore because of this. And look, not everyone in this room might feel like that. But I know there's some people in this room that will feel like that at times. And maybe all of us, I don't know, but sometimes we can disqualify ourselves from receiving God's love because of those things we've done, the memories that we sometimes replay in our mind. But you know, all of that has no effect on the love that God has for you. Because once again, his love for you is not based on how we've lived. It's not based on our nature. His love for us is based on his nature. And he is love. Wow, isn't that incredible? So you might be asking, well, okay, then I want to know more about this love of God. How does God love me? How does God actually love us? How do we receive God's love? I'm sure you've all been to weddings, and you've all heard this verse, especially at weddings. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, this is just a little insight into how God loves us. Because this is the famous love chapter, or the love verses in 1 Corinthians 13. So I want to do something with this verse. So let's just read it. Think about how God loves us. So this is what the Bible says love is. This is what the Word of God encourages us, that love is like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's good to read this outside of a wedding, eh? It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Oh, and man, imagine if you could get these next verses into you about how God loves you. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. And I saw someone do this with this verse that we're going to do right now. Now let's just take the word love out. If God is love, let's put the word God where it says love. And some of you have probably heard this before. It's nothing new. I didn't invent it. But listen, so this is thinking about how God loves you. God is patient. God is patient. Have you ever made mistakes? If you've made mistakes, and we all have, and some of you might be right in the middle of real good mistakes right now, man, God is patient with you in your mistakes. It's his love towards us. His love is patient. Oh, man, that's good. I reckon that's good. I think it's good anyway. I'm not sure about you guys. Yeah. Love is kind. Oh, sorry, God is kind. God is actually kind to you. God does not envy. He doesn't want something you've got. He doesn't want it, and he doesn't want to grasp it and grab it and take it from you. There's things he probably does ask of us that we give willingly. That's quite different to envying something. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. Oh, I mean, some of us may have the mindset that if I just mess up a little bit, God is angry with me. God is not easily angered. I think that's really good. God rejoices with the truth. God always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. Always perseveres. And God never fails. That's how he loves us. Isn't that incredible? That's the way he loves us. He's patient. He's not proud towards you. He's not rude towards you. And if we've got a picture of love that maybe was rude towards you, I'd love it if this morning we could separate those images of love that are connected to what we have perceived love. We could separate that. God is different. God is a different sort of love. Now, if you're a mature Christian and you've been around a wee while, here's a bit of a self-test for your maturity. Let's pick a name. We should pick on someone who's not here. No, we won't. So imagine putting your name where it says love in this verse. Now, this is a real self-test for how mature you are in Christ. I loathe to do it, but I'll put my name in here because I don't want to pick on anyone else. Okay, so I'm sorry putting my name there. But Craig is patient. Craig is kind. Now, put your name in there instead of hearing my name because this is a self-test, remember. Craig does not boast. Craig does not envy. Craig is not proud. Craig is not rude. He's not self-seeking. Craig is not easily angered. Craig keeps no record of wrongs. Craig does not delight in evil, but Craig rejoices in the truth. Craig always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Craig never fails. Eden's in the front row right here. we know that you know we there's something that we can aspire to, and Jesus King, we can be constantly, we can be changed so that becomes more of a reality in our lives. But there will be a pretty hard ask to live up to. God's not trying to live up to that. He is that. He's not trying to be patient with you. He is patient with you. He's not trying. That's the way he is, and we've just got to learn to receive that. But I love those lessons. But God always protects you. He always trusts in you. He always hopes on your behalf, and he always perseveres on your behalf. Man, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible, man? I reckon that is amazing. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we're transformed into his likeness. And the more we're aware of his love and what his love means and what his love truly means for us, I reckon we will be transformed into being more like his love and being more like him. I actually believe that we are, right, in our human design, we are designed to receive God's love. So without God's love, and if you have a bit of an issue receiving God's love and actually really knowing it, understanding it, and really taking it into your life and living from it, something doesn't make sense in our lives at times. Our existence may not even make sense. If you don't know God's love, your existence might not make sense, because we are designed to know God's love, to receive God's love, and also then to give it as well. And I actually wonder if it's not too far to say that if we don't know God's love in our life, that we're actually broken. Because I think his love takes the brokenness and heals it and makes it whole again. And I can look at, and you know, really honest, I can look at my life and see areas where there is brokenness, where there's things I'm like, oh, I'd love for that to be different. And as we behold God's love and his love towards us, the fact that he's patient and kind towards us, and we receive that, that's when I believe he's going to change those areas of brokenness in our lives. And he can do that. He can do that, which is really cool. So God wants you to know his love, not just about it, because sometimes we can do what I just did then, where you can read those verses, and you know, some of you might even be able to pull out some better verses about love than what I've just, you know, I've read here. So God wants us not just to be able to quote verses about love. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing that we can have that as a benchmark, as something that we can aspire towards and we can understand. But he wants to go beyond just knowing about it to it actually changing who we are. And you know, one of the things I love about our church here is that there's people here that I know your lives really have been changed by God's love. And there's people here that you can talk to. And when you talk to them, you can actually feel God's love. And we're really privileged. And if you're in that position where you want to know more of God's love, seek those people out, get around them, and just listen to the way they talk. Feel the way they treat you, and feel the way they talk about God. And I reckon we've got a real wealth of people here that know God's love in a way that I aspire to. So some of you who've been around, and I'm not going to try and point anyone out, but man, some of you, I really honour the way you've allowed your life to be built by God's love. And it's a real inspiration for, I'd like to say, young people like me, but you know, people who are maybe not as old as some. It is a real inspiration, and I love the fact that there are people here that we can look to who do know God's love in an incredible way. And you know, you can actually, I think it's okay for you, for those of you who know you are those people that God has allowed love to really be worked into your life, and you know his love. It's actually humility to say, yeah, man, I know God's love. And because there's people around who need to know that you know God's love, so you can model it to them, so you can show them and lead them in the way that they can become like you and say, I know God's love as well, because someone got alongside me and showed me how God can love me and how I can connect into that love. So we're really blessed, eh? We are really, really blessed in our church. But because there is a thing where we do, I want to experience God's love, okay? And I think that's all right. I'm pretty sure that's okay to say. And look, most of you have got kids, or some of you have got kids here. I don't know. Most of you have got kids. It's all very well for me to say I love my kids, right? But oh, how Eden's right there in the front row. Man, the acid test right there. It's all very well for me to say I love my children, but the true test of it is if Eden feels my love. If she can say, yeah, my dad loves me by doing this, but he does this because he loves me, and I can feel his love, and I can feel his support at times. And I know there's times when Eden probably would say that she has felt this, you felt my love. Like just during this week, or maybe a week ago, I loved Eden by helping her with her algebra. That's real love. How do I do that again? Factorizing, and whoa, man, that was quite hard work. But I really enjoyed doing that. It was so good to help my daughter, and I hope that she, and I believe she felt love from there. So how good is it that our kids can feel love? And that would be our heart, that our children, the people around us, feel love when we do something for them or act in a certain way to them. I think how much more would God want us to feel his love, actually experience it, not just know about it, not to say, well, I know God loves me, but I actually can feel and experience God's love. And that's what I'd love all of us to move closer towards, so that we can actually experience more and more of his love. Not just words, but actually experience it. So, and we're going to pray near the end, because I can't actually make you feel God's love. I can talk about it and inspire you, but we just got to put ourselves in the position where we can receive, position ourselves so he can literally come and love us. And I reckon we can do that really easily. It's not a hard thing to do. Because the reality is, if we were to go through and talk to everyone about, you know, how do you feel God's love? There'll be some of us that actually struggle to feel God's love. And maybe it's because of those things that have happened in the past. We were equated love with this, and then we kind of almost transfer that onto God. Well, you know, maybe the love wasn't a pure love, and then we kind of have transferred that not so pure love onto God. And well, how can if that happened, how can God love me? So I had a friend at school, right, and we used to play in the same soccer team. He was in my class, so we did PE together. And he was an asthmatic, and so there was a certain time, and we were quite good at soccer back in the day. Really enjoyed it, and so he was a back. I was normally in the midfields, but sometimes I'd watch him, and he would run his guts out like me, and we'd just absolutely really get into our soccer. But because of the physical exertion, sometimes his asthma would kick in. And when his asthma kicked in, I don't know much about really a lot about asthma, and some of you may get asthma, but basically the airways in his throat start to constrict, and it's difficult for him to breathe. So we're in the situation where I'm running around and I can breathe sweet airs, and I'm surrounded by air. The same air is surrounding him. But something's happening on the inside of my friend Phil, and he is struggling to breathe. And he had an inhaler, so it was all good. He'd sit down, take his inhaler, you know, take a few puffs, and he was all pretty good. He might have had to sit down for a while, but eventually he would get back into the game. See, God's love is like oxygen. We're surrounded by air and oxygen all the time. The same love that God has towards all of us is literally, I actually believe it's surrounding all of us right now. There's no one that God is sort of standing back from a little bit. It's like his love is surrounding us, totally surrounding us right here. Just like the air on that soccer field was surrounding all the players. And yet there was someone on the field that just struggled to receive the air. They couldn't take the air into their body. And sometimes we struggle, for whatever reason, to take that love and receive it and take it right into us. And Holy Spirit knows why that is. And if you maybe feel like you're that player on the field who's struggling to take that air and you're struggling to breathe, and you see everyone else around is breathing, maybe it's just like, I think it's as simple as starting a process where you say, Holy Spirit, why do I find it difficult to receive your love? Why am I finding it difficult to breathe your love in right down into the depths of who I am? Why am I finding it hard to receive your love to define who I am? And then I believe Holy Spirit will show you. And it might take a bit of courage to look at some of the things that have happened in life and deal with those, process them, seek healing for those issues, for the brokenness that there might have been. But I really believe that God can move you to a place where you can receive his love, like all the other players on the field. Because if you're the player on the field that's struggling for air, it can feel pretty lonely. You can feel like, what's wrong? Why? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And maybe there is something possibly that God wants to heal and can heal so that you can be one of the players that can play the whole game without having that attack. So God's love is literally like that air and that oxygen around us. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you where there might be a restriction in your heart or soul that's blocking his love getting through. And I reckon one of the biggest blockages that we have to receiving God's love is thinking that his love towards me is dependent on how I am doing. I think often we equate his love towards us with my nature. And I'd love it today if we really went away just convinced that God's love towards us is dependent on his nature. Can you see the difference? All of a sudden, it's not about me. It's not about my circumstances and not about how I'm doing. So here's a question. And this is a question I'd love you to think about over the next day or however long. What would it look like for you to have a growing revelation and knowledge and experience of God's love in your life? What would it look like for you to go down deeper into the love of God, to let God's love impact you in such a way that it changes your life? What would it look like for you? And I've got some words that I think it might start to look like. And these are words that, man, I would embrace these words into my life. Oh, man, would I embrace them. So if you're going to be growing in the knowledge and experience of God's love, growing deeper in that, I think it's going to produce these words in your life. The first one is rest. Man, don't we need rest in our lives? Physical rest, yes. But rest from laying down the effort to please God. Laying down the effort that I have to work hard to please him because he's watching what I do to make sure that I'm doing it well enough so I can earn his love. Man, imagine if you could rest in such a way that you could lay down that effort of trying to earn his love. You can almost just feel yourself just going, entering his rest. Maybe it's an end to the striving of a sense of a list of things that I have to do, a list of things I have to tick to sort of work through before I can receive God's love, before I can stay in his good books. So rest. I reckon if we're growing in the knowledge of the love of God in our lives, we're going to know rest. Who needs rest? Man, I need rest. I'm looking for that rest. I'm looking for a greater revelation of it. Second word I reckon that we could sort of consider could be something that grows in life is secure, security. Grant mentioned that word earlier on, actually. I reckon we can be so secure as we receive more of God's love in our life that we know we can't be moved from the position we have in Christ. Because sometimes, you know, maybe there's times when we feel like we've got our position in Christ, we're solid in our position in Him, we're prayed up, we've read the Bible, we've spoken in tongues this long today, and I'm solid in my position in Christ today. And then something comes along and knocks you off. I reckon we can be so secure that we can't be moved in our position in Christ because we know he loves us so much. Between 1968 and 2022, this blew me away, 154 people have been stripped of Olympic medals. And mainly that is because of they've been found to, or they've been caught, or whatever, using performance-enhancing drugs. 154 people. And then basically, some of these people have probably suffered some pretty major humiliation, worldwide humiliation, and you might be able to think of some of those people. But you know, we can't be stripped. If we know God's love, we can't be stripped of our position in Christ. We can't have that medal, as it were, taken off us because we didn't win it. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us. Imagine if you were one of the guys that had just won one of those medals, and you knew that you had done it by performance-enhancing drugs. Oh, are they going to catch me out? What if they find that in my locker? You'd be constantly thinking, what if I get caught? Or maybe you'd just be like, I don't care. So we don't need to be like, what if I blow it? What if I don't quite measure up today? Will I be stripped of that position in Christ? Will I lose that position that God has? Do you know what I'm saying? If we didn't earn it, I think we probably can't unearn it. I know that's probably not very good English, but I like the fact that I might not be able to unearn God's love, that his love is constant, consistent towards me. Whew. Is this all right? Is this all right, you guys? If we're going to know more of his love and receive a deeper revelation of it, I think that word sonship and adoption, I think that's a word we're going to have a growing sense of being accepted into his family. In a sense of being connected into a worldwide body of believers, you're not just a little, you're not on your own just having some little experience. We're actually part of something way bigger than ourselves, which I actually think is actually pretty incredible. But when you're a part of a body and you know you are loved and accepted just the way you are, you also don't need to look around the room and go, oh man, they're so much more gifted than me. Or maybe they've got a better calling than me. Maybe God's going to do something with their life that he's not going to do with mine. We don't need to worry about that because I'm just so loved where I am right now. I'm loved for who I am. God pours out his love towards me. I don't need to compare myself with anybody else. Oh, isn't that a free position? You think, man, that doesn't happen in church, does it? Maybe it does. So if we're loved, if we know who we love, we can first of all, we can feel celebrated for who we are by God. And then you're also free to celebrate other people because they're being who God's called them to be. Now, I think the worst thing in the world that we can have as believers is to wish we were another believer. I reckon that's just the worst thing, eh? Rejecting yourself, wishing you were someone else, or wishing you had their gift or their calling or whatever it is. Man, I reckon when we're loved, if you had that, it'll just fall off and you'd just be like, I'm so glad that God's called me to be me. In other words, we had rest, security, being adopted, understanding our sonship, and identity. His love is literally going to provide you with an identity for who you are in Christ. You're going to understand the gifts and the callings that he has given you that make you an individual, make you different from anybody else. And because he's given you an identity, yeah, man, we see this in the world today. You don't need to craft one for yourself. You don't have to carve out an identity for yourself so that people will know who you are. You can just receive the identity that God has given you. So we don't have to look around and think, oh, I'm going to grab a bit of that for me. Oh, that looks good over there. I'll grab a bit of that and I'll try and make that me. Man, you can just rest knowing that God has given you an identity because he loves you. And that's just not me. You want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I heard someone read this verse the other night, and oh man, and they were saying it out of a revelation, a fresh revelation of what God has done, of what God was showing them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the spiritual realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now get this. For he chose us, or he chose you in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. How can you choose something from before the foundation of the earth? You choose something because it's just something that you want. If you're choosing something before it even existed, it's not, that thing that hasn't even existed can't earn anything, can it? It's before he chose us, before the foundation of the earth. He chose us because he wanted us. He chose you because he wanted you. Now, isn't that good? I love that. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. It was his pleasure and his good will to choose you, to predestine you, to adopt you. Not because he looked at you and thought, man, oh, that one there's doing really well. Yeah, I'll have that one. Before you could do anything, He called you to himself. Before you could earn anything, he called you to himself. You just think about that little wee baby, you know, when we held our first kids, you know, when you hold your newborn baby, there's nothing that newborn baby can do to earn your love. But how much do you love it? Even though it hasn't done anything to earn your love. So if that's true for us as earthly parents, how much more does God love us? And we've done nothing to earn it. Just because we're his, because we're his, he loves us. Because who he is, he loves us. Oh man, that's good. All right, that's amazing, eh? And just pretty close to finishing now. I'm going to do pretty good for time by the look of it. Ooh, yes. Jackie read a book a wee while ago, and so I haven't read it, but you know, sometimes Jackie and I talk together. Oh, wow, amazing. So she read a book called Man's Search for Meaning, which some of you will definitely have heard of, and probably some of you have read. And so I'm going to do a really bad job of summarizing it. But it's got a guy called Viktor Frankl. Yeah, I see a few heads nodding. So here's a psychologist who went through the horror of being a prisoner in a concentration camp in World War II. So he was Austrian. And as a psychologist, he observed, I better read this so I get it right. He observed his fellow prisoners and how they responded to the situation they were in and what attributes set apart the ones who survived from the ones who didn't survive. And obviously it's not specifically going into the fact that they went through some horrible torture or whatever it was. But one of his observations was that if you can assign meaning to your life in the midst of suffering, you're going to do a lot better and the suffering won't break you. And it's a very simplistic explanation of that guy's book. But John 16, verse 33 says, in this world you're going to have trials. So that's what Jesus says. But God loving us doesn't mean we won't face trials and times of suffering. But if we know his love in the midst of hard times, in the midst of trials, we will be able to endure it. His love assigns meaning to us no matter what we're going through. And if we know we're loved, we're going to be able to endure difficult times and suffering. And man, how good is it to know that in the middle of hard times, it's not as if God has taken his love from us, but he can assign such meaning to us. He's assigned meaning to us even in the middle of hard times, and then we're going to be able to endure it. So obviously the kids are coming in. It's quite different to be up here when they come in. Normally we walk them across. But I just love us now to just think, how can we move on in this journey ourselves in knowing God's love? And I hope this morning hasn't discouraged you and made you feel, well, I'm a lost case. But no, I believe God wants to encourage you to move closer towards him, and he wants you to go deeper in his love, and even right now. So if we can all just stand up just for a minute. And what I'd love us to do is just to take a moment to just really invite the Holy Spirit to shed abroad the love of God into our hearts. And I'm going to read you a prayer in the Bible. And that'd be awesome. Thank you, Catherine. If you've got anything out of today and you're like, yeah, I want to move closer towards the love of God. I want to know and experience his love in my life. I want to be redefined I want his love to define me. As you've got your eyes closed, I just want to read a prayer. It's an apostolic prayer that Paul prayed in the Bible. He prayed it to the Ephesians, and I want to just pray this prayer over you. And I want you to personalize this for you, and maybe take this home, and you can pray this over your own life at home. So this is praying the Bible. It's great to pray, but it's great to know you're praying the Word of God over your life. So Ephesians 3, verse 16. And this is the heart of Paul praying for the Ephesians that they might know the love of God greater in their lives. And some of you know this. Most of you will know this probably. But Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you love us so much. And I ask today that any barriers in our life, barriers in our lives, Lord, as a group and individually, Lord, that would stop us from receiving your love. I just ask that those, that you would show us, Holy Spirit, what those barriers are, that we could know the breadth, the height, the width of the love that you have towards us. Holy Spirit, that you would be able to shed that love right into our hearts, right into the depths of who we are. Lord, that we'd allow that love to enter right into the very depths of our inner man. Lord, that we'd make ourselves open and vulnerable towards you, Lord, so we can receive your love. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd just work in everyone's heart who's after that, who that's the cry of their heart. I ask that you just do that work in their heart right now. Lord, and as they go home, thank you that it doesn't stop. Lord, I thank you that you're going to be working in our lives over this week, over the coming days. And Lord, I just ask that you would set up times of appointments for each of us who want that, Lord, who are going hard after your heart, hard after your love. Lord, that we would just, you'd set up times when we can just, as it were, maybe put that song on, hear those words that I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Lord, that those words will wash over us. And Lord, there might be times when when the house is quiet, turn the light off, kneel on the floor and just look to you in a new way and look to receive your love in a new way into our lives. Holy Spirit. And I just love it if we could do one thing right now, right? I could respond to an altar call for this, but I'd love it if we could just spend a minute or two right now. Can you just talk and pray with a person, a couple of people, so just maybe just gather into groups of two or three, and let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's really just reach out towards the Lord together. And so can you just get into groups two, three, four, you know, some, and just say, hey man, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you to receive more God's love? Because the person beside you might have a key that could unlock it for you. So that's where we're going to end today. I'm not actually going to have an altar call, because I reckon the most powerful thing we can do is when we take this home to our own walk with God tonight. But can you just get with someone right now, put your arm around them and just say, hey, can I pray for you that you would know more of God's love in your life? And there might be something that they share with you, you share with them. That'd be awesome. And when we finish that, just feel free to go. Thank you so much for listening, and have an awesome afternoon.